My goal with people then is to give them the clearest proof of this concept, to help them to see that whether it's anxiety or a craving or, say, a distraction, all of those conditions mean that your brain is ready to learn from you, but has to know that you got the signal, whatever the urge was, you know, to flee or to partake or to switch what you're doing. You got what you felt the urge and then still stayed on task or still stayed with approach. That does the fastest retraining.
Hey, this is Sharif here with another episode of The Golden Hour, joined by Dr. Kevin Majors. Kevin, good to be here with you.
Great to be back, Sharif. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Hey, Kevin, you were telling me recently about a new analogy that you have that's been really helpful when in helping your residents understand your approach to treating patients. So I'd love to hear more about it and dive into it.
Yeah, Sharif, thanks. I have been excited about this. It's actually an old analogy. It's an analogy I learned from Guy Meadows. He wrote a book called The Sleep Book. And in there, he talks about the Olympic medals and what it means to when you're entering into something that you find hard to, you can get a bronze, silver, or gold medal, depending on how it goes. So what this analogy does is it lets people get excited about acceptance and to see the power of acceptance as a strategy. And it also tells people why they're finding it hard to do this thing again and again. And so just to go through briefly what this is, let's say a person is afraid of heights. And so, you know, he or she just never goes on high places. Well, as long as they're avoiding the high places, there's no medal. But what if there is an opportunity? Say they have a friend who has a balcony outside his apartment. So it's a very high balcony, and that would give them a good chance to practice. Well, if they were to go on that balcony because everyone else is, and the whole time be hating it and be really frustrated for being anxious on the balcony, as long as they don't leave by the end of it, we'd say, okay, that's a bronze medal. With a bronze medal, you have symptoms and frustration. Now, what would happen if the person could be on the balcony and have all the same symptoms of the, you know, the fear of heights, but now just be completely accepting it? Okay, this is good for me. I'm just going to welcome it. If they could stay welcoming and just let themselves feel the anxiety, that's the silver medal. The gold medal is going on the balcony and having no symptoms. So the key to this analogy is you never aim for gold. Aiming for gold, hoping to go on the balcony and you have no symptoms, that is what causes frustration and maybe leads to avoidance. So you either get a bronze because you're frustrated and white knuckling it, or you actually leave. The key is to aim for silver so that you are intending to have the symptoms and to be practicing acceptance whenever you're in the challenging situation. Now, what's beautiful about this analogy is that it applies to any situation in life where you could be frustrated. Every situation where the people encounter where frustration is there, there's a path through where you can drop the white knuckling, drop the frustration, practice acceptance, and that's how you shape your character in the deepest ways and according to your highest ideals.
So, okay, this would imply that I think when people think of developing habits or developing new approaches, that the number one thing is repetition, repeat, repeat, like do it over and over. So that you're saying that's not quite it. You need to do an acceptance, repeated acceptance.
Yeah. So if you take a person who is trying to stay on a diet, let's say, and you know the person is going to a party and they know that there are going to be lots of sweets offered there. Well, again, they could go to the party and white knuckle it. And they have all these cravings and they're distracted by them and they find that they're kind of miserable with their cravings. Or they could go to the party knowing the cravings are going to come and being okay with that and just practicing accepting the cravings when they come and staying invested in the party. that is what leads people to habituation the fastest. No, like that you know that their cravings will show up and you're just ready to accept that they're there. That doesn't mean you have to love them. It just means you accept that they're there. The more accepting you are, the faster you habituate the craving. So what happens when you go to things aiming for silver is you end up unexpectedly winning the gold medal. At the end of the night, you're like, wow, I wasn't distracted by cravings the whole time. So I was just able to do it. So it's again, it's a beautiful thing that just by aiming for acceptance, you end up unexpectedly getting what you were wanting anyway, which is to go to the party and not be distracted by the cravings for the sweets. So whether it's a craving or whether it's fear or really any challenge in life, anything where you know that you have to shape yourself and change yourself and develop a new habit, acceptance is what makes that the fastest and the easiest possible. And the other thing I think is very beautiful about this is that whether or not you get the bronze or the silver is 100% in your control. So that being in the situation with frustration or being in the situation with acceptance, everything externally is the same. So you're able to inwardly practice the willingness to let the thing you don't want to be there. So it's totally in your control. And I'll ask this to patients. Does it seem like, you know, being in the situation frustrated, like you can do something about it? And once they've been through the analogy, they're like, yes, I see that I could actually be there and be accepting. And that is the path.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay. So this sounds like one of those easier said than done type of things, no? Where, okay, yeah, there's all this pain, but just, you know, accept it. So how would you coach someone through that? So one thing is just to help them see that, yeah, you can do this. So you're giving them a sense of like possibility or hope. Is that enough, or do you do any additional things to coach people towards it, to this acceptance mm-hmm. of, I mean, yeah. really you're talking about acceptance of pain, right? Ultimately, yep. that's.
So what we're really strategizing is inward patience. So we're trying to come up then, what is the best strategy to be inwardly patient with anxiety or cravings or whatever it is? Well, there are three steps. The first is reframing.
Oh,
the second okay. is mindfulness. And the third okay. is challenge.
I knew it.
You knew it. So we practice those steps again and again, each, you know, as we go through the day, ideally. So you get good at it. And then you can start, once you're good at those three skills, which make up acceptance of inward things, those three skills allow you then to thrive on in your challenging situation. So easier said than done means that this thing is actually really bad in itself. And that's still a partial view of the pain. Pain only has its meaning in the larger view. So it's like, say a person is wanting to get toned up physically and now engaging in weightlifting. Okay, so what is then the thing that they might be afraid of showing up? It could be the very soreness or reaching their limitations and not getting to the goal that they thought they were going to get to. Okay, but that reaching the limitation and the soreness, isn't that in some sense where their growth lies?
Yeah, that's where you need to go to.
Yeah. And point. So that the more they have a positive view of reaching their limitation in weightlifting and getting sore, the more then they can see that this is the path. And so they want to go on it and they want to get to that point. And that's the way every trial of self-mastery works. When self-mastery is being tested, it's the reframe that sets the stage for all the rest. And then, say with a weightlifter, you know, you could be practicing welcoming the soreness and feeling it physically. That too lets you get over your dread of it and slightly relax into whatever sensations may come. I think that also helps, you know, that this isn't a bad thing happening. The same could be with running and getting to new limits of endurance. And then the challenge is continually leaning in until somehow you fulfilled it. So reframing, mindfulness, and challenge together are what make up acceptance. But I often tell people that depending on the situation, mindfulness is usually the missing ingredient. You know, when you think of people with emotional obstacles and they say it's the anxiety or the craving that they're dreading, well, letting themselves feel that anxiety does, or the craving does, allow it to run its course without controlling their behavior. So really mindfulness is what has to be most worked on, and for them to envision being in the situation, having the unwanted feeling, and then even then, as they look forward to it, relaxing into it. Let the body relax and just imagine what it would be like to be purely mindful. You can practice the silver position. You can practice it in advance. Anytime you dread something coming up, you can practice, okay, here's my chance, get a little micro practice to welcome this fully and to be mindful of the very thing, whatever it is that I'm dreading.
So, okay, in this case, because you said, and of course, we know from many years of having practiced Optum work that challenge, you know, it's leaning into the difficulty. So in the case where the difficulty is primarily internal or emotional, frustration or fear or craving, would you say the challenge is the mindfulness, accepting it fully and being willing to feel the frustration or the fear? I mean, that's really what's difficult, is fully feeling it. So, or is there a separate challenge now? So there's like,
I think that that's all encompassed by saying that the challenge is getting the silver medal.
Okay.
So, because that means you're doing the behavior, because to not do the behavior, to cut it off early, would be no medal at all.
Okay. The behavior, but, meaning like being out on the high deck.
Exactly. Or finishing the reps, or at least attempting to finish the reps, or to, you know, to finish your run, or to go to the party and not have the drink or not have the sweets, whatever the thing is that you've set as your goal, that's something you want to be shaping. Okay, then doing that thing with acceptance, that whole thing is the challenge.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So there's an external part, which is the behavior, and then there's the internal part, which is the reframing and the mindfulness.
Okay, got it. And then now oftentimes when we talk about engaging challenges, we talk about the intelligence, like using your intelligence for how you approach this challenge. But it seems like in the case of these kind of simple challenges, it's kind of pretty clear what this, like what you said, what the silver medal is. You aim to just do your behavior with emotional acceptance. So is there an area here where we want to strategize and use our intelligence to in some way raise the bar to do this better? Or would you say just go in with the idea of, you know, you have your behavior and aim for emotional acceptance, aim for silver, and that's it?
That's an interesting question. It seems that once you have the right mindset and you're aiming for silver, then you're more free to shape the activity itself. So when you go to the party, maybe the main challenge and the main thing to be working on improving and strategizing isn't really your emotions about the food you might have or the balcony you might go on. Maybe it's better in that case that you really be strategizing ways of remembering the people you meet, or remembering things about them, or showing interest in them, so that there's a positive area for you to focus on, you know, where it's purely positive. And I think that if you are strategizing the substance of the task you're working on, the work that you're doing, if you're lifting, it's the form, or if you're running, it's the form. You know, with running, it could be, you know, having your cadence be 180 footfalls a minute. So you could always be working on something in the form that's more the positive thing, and then keeping it up even when whatever unwanted thing starts showing up. That is how you get the silver.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I wonder if we could go into some kind of alternative approaches that people might have and just discuss, okay, maybe some of the pitfalls of that. So the shortcomings. One you mentioned is the bronze approach, where someone is getting really frustrated. One you mentioned is aiming for gold. So I'd like to understand a little bit more what that might look like. And then another one is just pure avoidance. Just you don't even go to the party, or you don't even lift weights, or you just give up. Another that I was just thinking about was just kind of trying to distract yourself from the difficulty. So it's not that you've precisely given up on it, but like I think about this with people working while listening to music, for example. It's like, okay, I just in some way make it pleasant for myself by, you know, having this nice soundtrack playing, but I'm not fully engaging in it. So I don't know if any of those jumps out at you as kind of particularly relevant, or you see it a lot and you'd like to talk about it more.
No, those are good. I think that's a good list that you made there. One comment would be that the idea of white knuckling through a bad experience.
So that's like bronze medal.
Yeah, that's the bronze medal where it says, I'm just going to like grimly get through this. That usually, it happens a lot when people are aiming for gold. They're really hoping for gold. They're hoping that they can make this trip on the airplane without having any anxiety. But if it does happen, they're just going to kind of grimly get through it. And that's what I call white knuckling. There's all the tension is showing, you know, in their body. So those two things do go together. That the idea of aiming for silver is you're letting go of the gold. So, and you're not going to hope that you go through this with no anxiety, and then you're kind of relaxing into the experience. So white knuckling interferes with habituation. It's going to be harder for you to get over anything that you grimly get yourself through. So what you want to do then is whenever you catch yourself white knuckling it, to learn how to just relax into the experience, unclench emotionally, let yourself feel whatever the thing is that you might be not wanting to feel, and then go along with the task and engaging it positively. Another thing, though, that goes with aiming for gold is taking a medication to do it. Because you could, so there's a medicine named naltrexone, which prevents cravings, and it can be incredibly effective. So it could be that, you know, people who are tempted to binge eat or to binge watch things that they don't want to be watching, that they know that they're really going to be tested because they're alone one night or something. Well, they might be then afraid of the cravings coming up. And so if they took naltrexone in advance, it is very possible that they would experience the smoothest evening and have no real challenge there. And they would have the experience of gold. But the problem with that, as good as that may be in the short run, is you need an exit strategy. And you think, okay, well, then what's the exit strategy for coming off of naltrexone? It might be that they take less and less of it. You want to get to the point where they can still be mindful of a craving, without so much sense of automation kicking in and then leaving them to act automatically on whatever the urge is. So you do try to use naltrexone, at least I do, in a way that can facilitate mindfulness so that when the craving comes, they can learn to feel it. And the more they're able to then feel the craving in the situation where they dread it, the less power the craving has over them. And the less they need naltrexone, so they can start coming down on the dose. And you progressively go down on the dose and they can go off it. So it can make it easier. The identical case with anxiety is taking a medicine like clonazepam or lorazepam, any of the benzodiazepines. So those would just get rid of the anxiety. So if you're afraid of, you know, the party, you just, you know, because there's a balcony there and you know people be on it, okay, you just take the clonazepam. An hour before the party, and then it's great. You can go on the balcony and there's no problem. But because there was no real anxiety, there's no safety learning either. So there's no real shaping of your threat response. So that means then that you got the gold in a sense, but not really. So there was no shaping of you that took place. So it means, like, what's the exit strategy? If you just don't take it the next time and go out, you're going to be as scared as ever. Well, maybe you could try making the argument, you could take a tiny dose and then make it a little bit easier to be partially mindful of what's going, you know, of the, but with anxiety, especially, I don't use the benzodiazepines hardly at all because I don't want to interfere with safety learning because it can happen. The flip can be so easy once they learn how to do it. So instead we practice getting silver medals in session. You practice bringing on anxiety, teach them how to reframe it, and how to be mindful of it, how to lean into it. And then once they practice enough times in session, they just get more daring doing it on their own. So you don't really need it.
And you encourage people to practice going for silver in their work too, because that's, you get repeated practices, just go for silver in terms of any of the difficult, normal difficulties that come up with work in terms of maybe anxiety giving presentations or difficulty focusing on individual tasks and things like that. I'm curious, you mentioned that willpower, or you mentioned that like white knuckling it doesn't lead to the change as much. So it's this kind of reliance on willpower. I don't know if you could talk through a little bit of the neuroscience of that, of why it's, you know, why the kind of white knuckling, it just puts a block on the habituation.
Yeah. So let's take this most simple case, which is anxiety. Anxiety happens in us because our amygdala has done its job and detected a threat. And when it detects a threat, it sounds the alarm. But then, most importantly in us, it watches your response. And if it can see in your response that you are approaching, you got the signal of the alarm, you felt the signal, and still are approaching the thing, then it will do much faster safety learning. But if it doesn't get that message received signal when it gives you the feeling of anxiety, then it's going to be a slower process of habituating, even in that one moment. So if you were to go on a balcony and to be ignoring the sensation of anxiety that you have, trying to distract yourself from it, you know, if you were still to have a negative view of the anxiety, and that's what white knuckling implies, it's like, I'm just going to get through this and I'm going to try to ignore the feeling as much as possible. Well, in that case, then even if you're on the balcony, your amygdala knows you haven't really gotten the message. You haven't really checked in and felt it. So it's going to take a lot longer for it to do the habituating. The example I often use is that when we send, say, a friend a text message, sometimes people who are very open allow you to have a red receipt so that you can, you know, the person who texts you can tell if you read it or not. WhatsApp has this just built into it automatically, that they can tell, have it's been delivered and have you seen it or not. Well, the amygdala is a little bit like that. It sends us messages and it can tell if we've read them or not. Once you feel the anxiety, particularly in the front of your chest, as the tension in the chest, it sends a message receive signal back to your amygdala. That is what speeds up the entire process of safety learning, because your amygdala needs a clear signal. So when you reframe a challenge or you reframe something that would provoke anxiety as precisely the kind of practice you need, you're already setting yourself up then to receive the signal positively. And as you start to feel the anxiety on the balcony, you tune in, welcome the sensation, and let it be there fully. And it can happen then that if it's fully reframed and fully felt, the whole thing lasts about 90 seconds. But if you're not reframing it and you're not mindful of it enough to send the message received back to your amygdala, the whole process is muddy. And it can take a half hour or not happen. So my goal with people then is to give them the clearest proof of this concept, to help them to see that whether it's anxiety or a craving or, say, a distraction, all of those conditions mean that your brain is ready to learn from you, but it has to know that you got the signal, whatever the urge was, you know, to flee or to partake or to switch what you're doing. You felt the urge and then still stayed on task or still stayed with approach. That does the fastest retraining.
Makes sense, Kevin. Okay, well, we're basically out of time now. So,
all right, Sharif. I hope that this gives people a sense of possibility, that there is anything that you can imagine yourself improving with your ideals, any way you want to be acting. To think then about what would it be like for me to aim for silver in that? Are there any situations where you push yourself through, you white knuckle it? Those are very rich for learning how to practice new things. So we talked mostly here about the emotions, but the same goes for any ideal that we have. That if we are aiming for the ideal, there's going to be resistance inside. There's going to be something there that's hard. The more we are accepting of that and still aim for the ideal, the faster we shape ourselves. So that's the other beautiful thing about this analogy, that it has no ceiling. You can apply it to yourself in any way that you want to grow. Aim for the silver, and more you will just be obtaining the gold.
That's great, Kevin. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sharif.
All right, we'll be back next week. Well, thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to check out OptimWork.com for a set of online tools to help you engage challenge in your life. See you next week.